This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. The digital signage industry has seen through its history a number of stabs at using window glass as a display surface, using films and projectors, LED overlays, and even high bright screens facing out from inside. A Dutch startup called Video Window is going at the challenge very differently, with switchable glass window panes that can be dimmed to control daylight glare, but also run graphics and full motion video on them. The main target application is curtain wall glass windows in airports and other mass transport venues. The switchable glass adjusts based on lighting conditions, but the windows can also do things like run airport messaging, show advertising, or even, via a smartphone app, allow people in departure lounges to play old-school arcade games like Pong. Video Window is mainly a software company, but putting this all together requires the people and partnerships to handle everything from window manufacturing to LCD glass design. The company is still very much a bootstrap startup, but it has a pair of operating installations in Rotterdam's airport, which is just up the road from the company's offices. The pandemic has thrown some growth plans off, as airports were largely empty for months, but co-founder and CEO Remco Veenbrink says they've been generating interest from airports and other kinds of venues all over the world. Remco, thanks for joining me. Can you give me a rundown on what Video Window is all about?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Dave. Sure. Video Window is glare control with a media platform. You can compare us to segmented tintable glass, which doesn't exist. So it's tintable glass with segmentation. And those segments work like addressable pixels. Mm-hmm. And with those pixels, we control the transparency of the window. But as we show content, we can actually show, you know, interesting videos, graphic art, as glare control. So our system controls the transparency of the content, and we're developing all kinds of nice content for Video Window to work like glare control. So you can think of gamification. So we have Pong. We're now working on Space Invaders, which can be controlled by passengers, because our main target area sector is aviation right now and any public transportation hub. Based on QR codes, people can then grab their controller and play Space Invaders, but it is glare control. And we also have generative video art, the depiction that we render. It's all glare control.
Okay. So it's smart building glass that doubles as video walls. It would be a quick way of saying it, right?
If you change the word wall for window, yeah.
Yeah.
It works. It works like a video wall, but we're transparent, and that way we don't need to be in front of a wall. You know, we can be embedded into glass, and we actually serve, you know, people, planet, and profit. We can also reduce the CO2 emissions of a building and help in reducing the carbon footprint of that building. So there's the tintable glass aspect.
Right. So what's the underlying technology? Is it the switchable glass stuff, or is it LED embedded in glass?
It's a liquid crystal. That's the core. It's thin film transistor liquid crystal display. So it's TFT.
Okay.
We started out with twisted pneumatics, so TN LCD, and we recently developed a high resolution display based on TFT.
Okay. So when you say high resolution for a typical structural glass panel that you're using, Would you be realizing a full HD resolution or 4K, or how does all that work?
It's a 2K resolution right now.
Okay.
And we're happy to work together with the OEM who can actually build that for us. Because before we had a 15 millimeter, like half an inch type of sized pixel. And that was a rather big pixel, a megapixel. But you know, this new generation of video window is built together with an OEM.
Okay, so I don't want to say approximating, it's the wrong word, but it's the visual experience is not that much different from what you would see on a conventional LCD display then, right? In terms of resolution.
No, it's a 2K square pixel resolution. So that's a bit different from normal LCD displays. They are subdivided into subpixels. So you have RGB subpixels. We don't have those. We have square pixels. Mm-hmm. It's a monochrome pixel.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there any opportunity to go to RGB, or is it always just the way you do it? It makes the most sense to be monochrome.
Yeah, RGB subpixels, they take away so much transparency mm-hmm. that you need backlight. And as we use the exterior light, the sunlight, the daylight, mm-hmm. as our backlight, so we wanted to make it as transparent as possible. And with RGB subpixels, it's dark. It's pretty dark.
Right. And,
so with LCD technology, I don't think we will get an RGB transparent screen that could, you know, work as glare control the way we use it. Mm-hmm. We've seen some interesting developments with electro wetting, which was done by a Dutch professor. He came by, he showed the technique, but that's you know, that's years out before that will be available. That's very fundamental technology, you know, that's still under development. And that's a CMYK solution. Mm-hmm. No K, actually. And that means that as there is no black in there, it's pretty, yeah, watercolory still. It's but it's an interesting technique. But you know, I don't think that with TFT LCDs we will ever see a RGB transparent display that can be used in the way that we do.
Okay, so you're using the natural sunlight as the rear illumination of the yeah. the display, so to speak. What happens at night?
Then our backlight is gone. We're glare control, we embrace the sun, we embrace the daylight instead of fighting it. Whereas video walls would actually, you know, increase the lumen output and really put more nits into there. We actually have a higher contrast ratio when there's more sun, and
right.
we keep on using around on the new panel, we're testing it and averaging it out, but it's around 8 watts per square meter, so that's negligible. And we're averaging this out because usually you don't show full black as an image. So
right.
when we put a full black image, it's around 8 watts per square meter. And that's so little, especially if you compare that to those high brightness screens. You know, they become more efficient over time, or became more efficient. But you know, that's easily 800 watts easily mm-hmm. per square meter. So if you address the areas that we aim for, like you know, 100, 200, 400 square meters, you're looking at some serious energy consumption. And yeah, for us. The 200 square meters, you could still run that on a normal outlet. It's very energy efficient.
Okay. So if I'm sitting in a departure lounge at the airport in Rotterdam, what am I seeing on this window glass? what's showing and how does it look?
Well, right now we have content agreements with the local museum, with a local art academy, and they all provide content for us. So it's a lot of culture. It's a lot of art. We also have poets that provide work. So we have poetry that's showing. We make that with the motion graphics into, you know, an interesting film. And we have Pong playing. So you can log in with your phone and play Pong. And that's all in a mix. So we have 5-minute mixes. So we show commercial content, we show artistic content, and we show gamification. And yeah, that's how we add value. And next to that, we also are in close connection to the internal communication department from the airport, who uses our screen to address, you know, certain messages to passengers. For instance, all the COVID measures, we run that, you know, every other film. We show, you know, those measures that people should take into account.
And you show operational stuff as well, don't you? Like you're at gate 5 and this is a flight to
That's the new screen. So we haven't installed our new high resolution screen yet. That will be in 2 months. It will be installed. And there we can show flight information and wayfinding. Because that is too detailed for pixels with 15 millimeter size.
Right.
And even though we have a 25 square meter setup, that, you know, you can only show one flight at the time, and people like to see, you know, have an overview. But that's definitely coming, and we will that's what we're building right now, is the API integration to have that flight information shown on our hardware.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you're primarily focused on mass transport, particularly airports. Why are they interested in your product?
Good point. Their main issue right now is non-aviation revenue. Make more cash flow. So they need more money. And we can help them with increasing their non-aviation revenue by showing commercial content. So we have a threefold. We have, you know, we add experience to that gate, because we're mostly at addressing the gate areas. Mm-hmm. And so we can add more experience for the passengers by showing, you know, artistic content and gamification, interactive content. We can actually reduce the CO2 emission by helping the climate control system and by being more transparent, which allows for daylight to be a bigger part of the basic illumination of that area. So we can help save energy. Mm-hmm. And then with the commercial content, we can help having added non-aviation revenue. So that we are addressing their biggest pain is that profit part. But, you know, they all have to also live up to their, you know, goals, which is reduce CO2.
Right. When it comes to the media side of things and monetizing these window displays, do you get pushback because A, it's only in black and white, and B, it's only running during daylight hours?
The daylight hours we can address. That's not, you know, it's all proven technology. It's just not so sustainable. We really like the sustainable aspect of our proposition. The color, I try to explain to them that, you know, if you have an 85 inch commercial content, full color, all over the place anyway, mm-hmm. Do you really want 100 square meter display to be full color? You know, your entire terminal will you know, be blended or washed away in all kinds of colors. Mm-hmm. Color is very intrusive, apart from it being actively lit, or the fact that it's black and white allows for such a big screen to be part of your building. So it integrates really nicely. It even has a soothing effect. With our generative video content, we show biophilic design. So we show leaves and flowers, and we kind of imitate the canopy of a dense forest where sunlight is broken up, and we create a very nice shadow pattern, which is moving, which is very soothing. And you know that shimmering light, it really is calming down the passengers. Mm-hmm. This is an added value that, you know, really doesn't need color. There's a lot of communication that we can do with being monochrome, and a lot of premium advertising, mind you, is still done in black and white, you know, by choice, because it just has a more premium feel to it.
Do airports typically use tintable, you know, electronic glass of some kind, or is this new to them, regardless of whether it has the media capability that yours has?
Tintable glass, yeah, is being implemented. I've seen it in a couple of American airports. That's done by either Sage or Vue. Those are two big players. Mm-hmm. One is American, the other is French. So tintable glass is a good solution. It's just that it's pretty expensive.
Right.
And your return on investment is taking, you know, pretty long. So with our solution, our segmented tintable glass, as an actually, it pays for itself immediately, because we offer it in a leasing option. So the costs for leasing are way below the profits for advertising. So actually, we don't ask people if they want to buy our stuff. We ask them how much money they can make from their glass. Mm-hmm.
So you work with some sort of a leasing company. If an airport came to you, you'd be able to set something up for them.
Yeah. That's how we do it. So we have a global leasing company. In the States, I would have to, you know, that's how we do it. So we reach out to them. So we have a potential client here. They're in Luxembourg, for instance. How can you finance that? You know, then they do their jobs, and they find a leasing solution. Mm-hmm. And then we can offer it to them. And then, you know, most of the time, that's done pretty quickly. They take one week maybe, and then we can make them an offer. And then together with the media department of the airport, we can assess the media value for them. And then we can see how far we can even, you know, make a profit for them and how fast.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Is it typically, like most airports would have, at least substantial airports would have a media partner that owns the out-of-home media rights for that property, like a JCDecaux or whatever? Yeah. Would they be the ones selling this space?
It would be a collaboration.
Okay.
We had an airport that already had that concession in place, clearly. Decaux is a big player, Clear Channel in the States. But there's many more players. Some airports still do it themselves. They don't have a media agency in between. Mm-hmm. But we would work together with those players and agree, make an agreement. We saw in Europe here an airport that, you know, really liked our solution for the added experience. It was to be installed near the security area, where we also proposed a nice film for the security, you know, to show how it's done. Well, you know, those instructional films, but we had, you know, some nice content creators. And the airport really, really wanted it because they also had a glare control issue. near the security area. So they just said they go at our table, and I said, okay, the two of you, you fix this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's, you know, we see Deco as a partner. You know, we are not a media agency. You know, we can, our software can turn any content into glare control, and that is our main differentiation. We don't have a sales department that reaches out to advertisers on a daily basis.
What about control of the displays, like in terms of airports? Again, the Deco's or the airport themselves will have some sort of a content management system, whether it's Deco with BroadSign or, I don't know, they're using Omnivex or whatever it may be. Do they work with your CMS, or do they have to use your content management software to update your video window display?
Yeah, the latter, because we need to adjust the content to work as glare control. So it's our content is the active layer controlling the amount of glare control, controlling the amount of transparency. It's a good question, by the way, because that's what we're now working on with our software engineers, is to create an API that can fetch content and then on the fly adjust it. The challenge there is that our screens are, depending on where they're placed, but they're so big that architecture and the architectural elements like pillars and columns and are breaking up the display, the canvas. So the building is part of the canvas. So what we want to automate, and this is under development, is to do an automated pan and scan, where we make sure that crucial areas are always shown at the unobstructed areas of our screen. Logos, they cannot be obstructed by a pillar. Eyes, shouldn't be blocked by a column. That type of intelligence, that's what we're now implementing in our content management system. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we have an editor standby that can do that on the fly. But if we want to move into programmatic advertising, this has to be developed, and that's what we're doing. But that comes with a lot of convolutional neural networking, image recognition. That's pretty next level.
Complicated stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So, speaking of complication, you're having to come at this from a few different angles. And from what I can see from your background, you've got one founder who's a banker and the other founder who has a fine arts degree. But you're dealing with structural glass design. You're dealing with the engineering of sound baffling at an airport. You're dealing with software for glare control, and you're dealing with media displays. It's very involved.
It's a lot of challenges. Yeah. Now we have great advisors. This is something it's across multiple sectors. Glass, construction glass. It's a world of itself, with a lot of demands and safety regulations. We don't pretend to know that, but we do know people who are fully, an expert in their field. And we tie that all together. So we have the expert of liquid crystal displays who was a former employee of Merck. So he knows that world. Glass construction, we work with Pilkington. Who is really open to innovation. That is a strong name. Content management systems, we work with the best of the brightest from the technical university here in terms of computer engineering. So they, that is what we are developing in-house. We always reach out for the best, the best expert available.
Mm-hmm.
No, and if he's not available, we make sure that we that he gets interest in what we're doing. And
so would you say you're a software company primarily?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that we start using high resolution screens, you know, we decided to be agnostic in terms of our display components. And we set up a whole spec sheet, so you know it's built to by on our spec sheet. Mm-hmm. But we're not intending to build displays, that's a whole industry in itself, and mm-hmm. pretty challenging, and it's
low margins.
Yeah, exactly. And there's only a couple of OEMs left, so it's all consolidating. That is a market, and once again there we just reached out to the best, and they know how to do it,
So if you're going to sell against some of the other technologies that are emerging out there, like transparent mesh LED and LED on a film that can be adhered to window glass, and then even LED embedded in glass.
Yeah.
What's the argument for your product versus those options?
Those options are great, but they're not glare control. So don't put them in the sun and try to mm-hmm. read it if you're looking against the sun with those structures. It's not happening.
If the window did not have any active glare control happening, is it 100% transparent, or do you kind of sense a haze, or how does it look?
No, it's transparent, but as you probably know, liquid crystal displays work with polarizers, so you don't have 100% transparency. But the transparency that we have is very much comparable to glass that is implemented in building these days.
Right, that's tinted in some way.
There's always a tint in uh-huh. glass, and there's e-coatings in the glass, which are fixed. So the thing with that, and the great advantage of tintable glass, is that, for instance, in the winter, you don't want to block the heat. The winter, you can actually use the temperature that the sun produces in the infrared spectrum to warm up your terminal. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And that can really save a lot of money, really save a lot of energy, and really help, reduce the carbon footprint. So if you could switch on and off an e-coating, that would be really interesting. That doesn't exist. So tintable glass can really help to warm up in the winter. And in the summer, we play our content a bit darker, and then it's tintable glass, and you can really help to bring down the energy usage to cool the place.
Are there any limits in terms of display performance or updating speed? So, for instance, you can do 30 frames per second.
Yeah, we can do 60 frames per second.
Okay.
Which really makes it stand out from other from Sage and Vue. They mm-hmm. that takes minutes. It's an electrochromic process, which is a chemical process. The ions go back and forth. That takes minutes, so that will not bring any video footage to the
right.
Window anytime soon. But there are developments which also use liquid crystal display. For instance, Merck is developing tintable glass based on that technology, and we're in touch with them. We're in touch with the founders of that technology. Actually, they already exited the company, but so those are our advisors. So this
right.
these guys who have developed this for Merck are also advising us on how to do it. And they don't do segmented; they do monocells, big monocells. But their switching okay. time is indeed much faster. And then there's suspended particle devices from Research Frontiers. Also takes seconds to alter the state. Nothing that we know of is as fast as our technology,
okay,
which is 60 frames per second, and that allows for video.
Right. And in terms of updating, if let's say there was some sort of an alert, let's say a gas leak in an airport terminal, and your CMS is tied into the alerting system, would it take minutes for that alert to show on your screen, or would it be as instantaneous as it would be on a like a normal digital sign?
Now we run with their signage systems, so yeah, uh-huh. They could overrule any content that we're playing. And they can they own their communication tool, obviously.
Right. So it's not going to take, as you were saying, with some of this other technologies, several minutes for a new message to build on the screen or whatever. If there's an alert, it's an alert and it happens right away.
Yeah, we can install that. We haven't installed that yet.
Right.
I'm asking you, but
the capability's there.
Yeah. Our technology allows for that. That's like an API integration where, you know, they can have preset images or notifications that they can then push. And when they push something, it will overrule any other content.
Okay. So you're in Rotterdam's airport right now. Are you fully in there, or do you just have like a demo?
No, we actually have two installations.
Okay. There.
So one is facing northeast, and the other is facing east southeast. Yeah.
Okay. So. And that's like one exit away from your offices, right?
Yeah.
And are you also in Amsterdam and Schiphol?
The funny thing is that Schiphol Group actually is the owner of Rotterdam.
Okay.
So we're a small country. And Schiphol Group has several airports, amongst which also JFK Terminal 4 and Brisbane. So yes, we're talking to the Schiphol Group, and they're all very eager to come over in 2 months to see our new installation, a high resolution installation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have high hopes there.
So if I wanted to see Video Window right now, I would have to go through Rotterdam Airport.
Yeah. For now, yeah, that's true. But we're also talking to a museum in Philadelphia who's interested. Mm-hmm. We are discussing some installations with airports in the States. But yeah, that's due to COVID, it's a bit quiet there on that front.
Yeah, really. What's the state of the company right now? Are you obviously a startup? How big are you? How are you funded?
Well, we're bootstrapped, self-funded so far. Yep. Any investors out there can reach out to us. we're nine people at this point. As you said, there's two founders. We have seven software engineers, and they're all they're doing honors programs, and so they're the best of the brightest. And we're very happy with our team, but we're looking to expand, to set up shop, maybe even in the States. We were reached out by several system integrators who would like to represent us in the States and in Canada, also in the Middle East. So it starts to move fast now, and that's really great to see, because as a startup, you know, you have a dream, you build on it. Mm-hmm. It's great to see that it's catching on. And South by Southwest also really helped in that sense. We were pitching there. We were second in the future of travel. You can still see the pitch. Yeah, so that was a very nice experience. And we were also actually approached by American investors. So we are discussing raising money.
Yeah, there seems to be a fair amount of investor money out there right now. I get the phone calls and the emails.
Yeah, indeed. Interest is so low that, you know, if you have money, you better invest it into something. And luckily, this people, it's a very likable product. It's pretty cool. It has a high wow factor. It serves People Planet Profit. it gets noticed.
That's great. All right, Remco, thank you very much for spending some time with me.
Dave, thank you very much for doing this podcast.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.